From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Our post game, the Knicks lose to the Memphis Grizzlies. BleedBlueShow.com is our website, and audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps as well. I want to say shout-outs to the stakeholders, shout-outs to the e-stakeholders who have been listening to us all around the country, even different parts of the world. I think that's pretty cool that a lot of the stakeholders get to be heard, including those across our quartet of platforms with the all of our squads and the stakeholder spotlight episodes. I want to say thank you to everybody making this platform grow as what we do. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, the Knicks lose. I might have to take it there, guys. I'm done with Jeff Hornacek. I think I'm definitely done with Jeff Hornacek. I'm almost there. I'll say this. I'm almost there. The rotations are god-awful. You have points ready to come off the bench, and then you have guys. I'll put it like this. Michael Beasley, to me, was the only Nick in attack mode all night, like he has been pretty much most of the season when called upon. He's been the guy that's been in attack mode a lot of the season. He's the one that really wants to put statement points. I thought he should have been in there earlier in the second half. But it's because of the head coach, because of Jeff Hornacek, he's so stubborn on – who starts what quarter, who starts what half. He doesn't make the right adjustments. The Knicks were stagnant. The Knicks weren't playing defense, so the only way you really counter bad defense most of the night is you pretty much put more points out there, get somebody who score. Michael Beasley is a guy who could definitely score on a depleted Memphis Grizzlies roster with no Mark Gasol, no Chandler Parsons. I mean, they were down there, guys, man. And this is really no excuse. I mean, this is one of those losses where we've seen some painful losses this season. There's a couple of the Bulls games, the Cleveland game. I mean, we could go through a lot. Miami game, even the Pelican game just recently at home. But this one is probably up there with one of the worst losses of the season for you should beat the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, I'll say this, because I saw the Memphis play the other night versus the Lakers in the same roster, and they did beat the Lakers. But we're not the Lakers. We're looking at it from the standpoint where the Knicks are pretty much are fully healthy. You go against what was working. For instance, Enes Kanter, for the most part of this night, they could not stop him inside. He was easy 2 points all night long. So you go away from him. You had situations all fourth quarter where the Knicks – can't find a defensive rebound to save their lives. Every time Memphis shoot a three-pointer or a perimeter shot, it goes off the rim. They get the ball back. They shoot another ball, get the ball back. Then they'll make a three. Then you have follow-up dunks from the Memphis Grizzlies, not boxing out. It don't have the right guys in the right place. It's just, and that's a head coach. You know, for the better part of 80%, 85% of this game, you had no energy. That's the head coach. There's no way around that. You saw the play in the fourth quarter. Porzingis had a steal. He was trying to split two Memphis Grizzlies, and it goes off his leg. Where there was a turnover on Porzingis. Then I think the next possession down, Jared Jack finds Beasley, and Beasley loses it out of bounds. I mean, you're losing opportunities. You don't execute well. Poor execution by the team. The wide open threes came again. They haunt the Knicks tonight, and it's usually – Porzingis getting burnt, being lured inside. So you see a lot of that with the Knicks, with bad defense, bad perimeter defense, bad rotation, bad closeout defense. That's Porzingis. Every time somebody got by Jared Jack, as usual, KP6 would go to help out, and the point guard would kick out to the guy who was pretty much wide open all night. And that would happen to be the Knicks, Porzingis' man. Then you had the follow-up dunks. Tyree Evans had a pretty good game. I'm pretty surprised that he's shooting this well this season. Guys, I've been following his career since he came out of college. He's shooting the ball very well. He was missing a lot in the fourth quarter. But let's get to the last part, and then we'll bring on the stakeholders, because you saw the jump ball. The Knicks were down three. It was another situation where the Knicks can't get a loose ball, where they had a chance to cut the lead to at least one, or maybe tie the game with a three. Probably if you had Courtney Lee, you had Tim Hardaway Jr., and I think it was Brooks that fell on the – no, it was Tyreke Evans that fell on the floor. I mean, the Knicks can never get the loose ball. They can never get that ball, a defensive rebound or just a loose ball. It happens to be a jump ball. The ref throws a bad ball to for the tip, and Hardaway doesn't jump. And then also the Memphis Grizzly, who happened to be Tyreke Evans, he jumps for the ball. He taps ball. I thought there was a violation right there. You don't call that. And it, what really irks me is the ref takes the game out of the whatever the left chance of the Knicks. Now, I'm not saying the Knicks were going to win, and the Knicks didn't even deserve the win. But it was once again where the NBA, the refs, come in here and want to steal the spotlight. Now, this is the part of the entertainment part of the game I don't like, is when the NBA refs want to – they decide who wins or who loses. The referee was a jackass for that call. Plain and simple, straight up jackass. There was no competitive possession left. Not to say the Knicks deserve it. You don't call a technical foul in that situation. That's pretty stupid. And it, to me, from what I saw, it didn't look like Courtney Lee said anything that was warranted a technical foul. But nonetheless, the Knicks played sloppy all night. They deserved to lose. A lot of things I don't like about this basketball game, and I'm highly disgusted. We're going to talk with the stakeholders on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We'll bring on Av, our source for the streets with the New York Knicks. The Knicks lose to the Grizzlies. Avenue's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and please give him a follow on all three platforms. He is the cornerstone of this great platform, what we call the Bleed Blue Show, and this is his platform, the Fan Forum, talking Knicks basketball. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. So, Av, the floor is yours, man. What's up, brother? How's everything?
What's going on, brother?
hey, man.
It's crazy when the referee does kind of like get a little bit of shine, you know, in key moments. But what can you do? I mean, you hit it on the head. They didn't deserve to win this game. The Knicks are 2-7 in the calendar year 2018, and you can just base it on and they can hold opponents in key situations, but it's a lack of consistency to be able to put down four solid quarters of effective offense and defense, that's the basics of it. Tonight, you saw just about in every quarter, you saw the offense really really putting forth the effort, but the defense is lacking. You got turnovers. You got not enough hustle, on certain rebounds. But then they started to make. I mean, the numbers don't say it. I think the Grizzlies are a plus one. Oh, the Knicks are a plus one on the boards, but that's all just made up in the fourth quarter. Because the first three quarters, they were like a minus six or minus seven on both ends, and that's just that's just a lack of intensity, a lack of effort, a lack of consistent ball play. I'm sorry, but what in the blue hell is Lance Thomas still starting with Tim Hardaway Jr. back? Lance Thomas played 15 minutes, got you nothing. He got you three assists, two blocks, and a couple of turnovers. I like Lance Thomas, but he should not be your starting three when you have two, very offensively talented threes, four combos on your bench. I like Hardaway and Beasley to come up the bench, but one of them has to start. Lance Thomas, to me, is just not doing it. Yes, I understand he's there for defensive purposes. He's there to be somewhat of a defensive anchor along with Lee and Porzingis. But offensively, this team it lacks so much when your main guy really, for the first two and a half quarters, was Courtney Lee and Jared Jack. I mean, that's pretty much the offense. And of course, Enes Kanter, pretty much averaging a double double on pretty much any given night these days. But I mean, Lance Thomas he cannot be your starting three. He's okay coming off the bench and getting a few minutes, but Hardaway or Beasley should be starting. And there's so much to talk about because yes, we won the game in Brooklyn a couple of days ago, but there's so many games that that you and I can pretty much dissect and be like, well, this is where we screwed up here. When we screwed up against New Orleans, when we lost that tight ball game against Minnesota, that overtime loss against the Bulls last week. I mean, these things are starting to mount up on this Knick team, and we cannot be heading into the All-Star break, being somewhat okay at home and this inept on the road. It does, if that's the case, then maybe tanking should be the goal. But that's not what's happening. This team is trying to fight for a playoff spot. At this point, I don't even know what I want personally. I don't know if a playoff spot or the tanking for a draft pick is what I want, because at this point, I just really want this team to show some effort. And tonight, and in the last few games, you see effort, but you don't see it on a consistent basis for a full 48 minutes, or in two of those cases, especially in the overtime. It's like the offense becomes stagnant. It becomes very solo based. It becomes one on one. It's basically as if Carmelo Anthony was still here, and if he was still here, then that would make sense because he's your go to guy, but he's no longer here. We got Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott, and so far Kanter is looking like an all star, and McDermott has disappeared. And again, I'm still scratching my head. Why is Lance Thomas still in the starting lineup? Can you answer that question for me, Steve? Because I'm fresh out of ideas.
Well, I don't really care about Lance Thomas in the starting lineup. I just don't understand his role during certain parts of the game. I'm gonna ask you back the question you just said. What happened to Enes Kanter? He was killing him in the inside pretty much all game. They had no answer for him. Knicks needed rebounding in the fourth quarter, and he's on the pine. If he's so-called all-star, Ab, why is he on the bench? I don't understand that. Same thing with Doug McDermott. I'm not saying Doug McDermott's an all-star. What I'm saying is, where's his minutes? Why is he? I don't think Lance Thomas should be playing more minutes than Doug McDermott, especially in the second half. Like, help me understand this, Ab. And then Ron Baker? You see Ron Baker, he can't hit open jumpers, man. He's a liability out there, Ab.
What still boggles my mind is why Jeff Hornacek is so keen on going small in the key crucial moments of the fourth quarter, pulling Enes Kanter out, moving Porzingis to the five, which is that's not a bad look. But then you got Ron Baker occasionally, you have Neil Aquino, whose shot is not there. Tim Hardaway Jr. becomes somewhat inept. You're not using Courtney Lee and him and Beasley at the same time, because when this team is looking for that spark plug three or that missing three, those three guys are not around. You don't see it. Who's taking the three? Porzingis is taking it, and it's usually well defended. It's usually out of position. It's usually coming off a curl, and it's usually right off off the front side or the left side of the rim, and I don't understand it. Jeff Hornacek needs to kind of get out of his this idea of going small in the crucial moments of the fourth quarter. I get that you want to be you want to go up tempo, but you can still go up tempo with Enes Kanter as a centerpiece of your offense. He can he may not play all those minutes, but you can still save him for the crucial minutes especially when you need a rebound, when you need a block, when you need that that extra body to be there to clog up the lane so that point guards can't, so the opposition can, if they beat you with a three, they beat you with a three. But if they can't beat you with a three, don't give them the option of a two, because now the lane is wide open because the switch wasn't there in time. Hornacek needs to come up with a better scheme than that, because defensively it becomes a huge problem down the stretch.
I agree with you, Ab. I'm glad you have said that. I'm really, really flabbergasted because we're seeing the same thing with this head coach. And I think a lot of Knicks fans are correct, especially what they said the last couple of weeks. We'll bring on the stakeholders in the order that they called, and we'll have some dialogue as far as what the hell is going on. I think a lot of it is the head coach. I mean, when you come out to Memphis and they have no Gasol, no Chandler Parsons, and you still play flat for about 85% of the game, that is the head coach. No way around it, man. Let's get to the stakeholders and get the thoughts. Let's bring on Chandler Ave and then go right down the line, get the Chandler, get the Marlon, and all the other callers. Let's talk Knicks basketball. Knicks lose. Chandler, talk to us, man. I know you're frustrated, Chandler. What's up?
Man, listen. I'm so pissed right now. It's not even funny. You got 35 minutes of Lance Thomas, Frank, and Ron Baker, and you got no points. You got no points, and you got four rebounds. Oh, by the way, Lance Thomas didn't get any of those damn rebounds. You signed Trey Burke, but you don't play him. You don't dress Dotson. You don't dress Noah. Yeah, the Grizzlies beat the Lakers the other night, but they had Mark Gasol when they beat the Lakers. You got no big man for the Grizzlies. You got a team that's not giving you any effort, and the one guy who's actually healthy who might have given us some effort, which would have been Noah, you can't put him in the game because you didn't even dress him for the game. You didn't dress Dotson for the game, okay? You're not going to play Burke. You're putting Ron Baker in at crunch time. Enes Kanter, apparently there's something in his contract that says he must be benched in the fourth quarter. Because when you need a bucket, the one guy who can get you a bucket besides Beasley, you put him on the bench. Because that makes sense to do. The problem is Hornacek, man, and I've been saying this and I've been saying this, and I know Av, you said, oh, we can't give him till the end of the year. Because I'm not trying to hear that Brad Stevens was winning games with the bum crew he had in Boston, okay, and Hornacek can't win with this team. I'm not trying to hear that at this point. I'm not trying to hear that you can't go offense, defense with Enes Kanter when guys like Kendrick Perkins, who can't play dead, teams were winning with him going offense, defense. You can't tell me that guys like Popovich, who can say, oh, you guys aren't giving me defensive effort, I'm benching my entire starting five, and I'm bringing in the bench guys until you guys decide to play hard. You can't tell me that Hornacek can't do any of this. I refuse to believe, you're not a coach, you're sitting at home. Yeah, but you know what? I've been watching basketball over 40 years. I've watched many, 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 many coaches win with far less talent than is on this team. Far less. And as far as that technical foul, Courtney Lee needed to shut the hell up. You don't put yourself in a position to allow the referee to take the game out of your hands. All he had to do was shut the hell up. I don't care if he didn't say nothing or not. He needed to shut up. A supposed veteran who can't shut up. You know what? This makes no sense that they lost to this team. And yes, there's good. We all knew there was going to be bad losses. We knew there was going to be nice. We were going to be like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? What I don't think any of us were anticipating or expected was the piss poor performance of this coaching staff. This is a coaching staff issue. Yeah, some of the players are going to be inconsistent. We get all of that. This is a coaching issue at this point. I'm not trying to hear about, well, Frank didn't do this. Then you know what? Don't give him 20 minutes. Frank didn't have to get 20 minutes. You got a guy whose only real skill set is putting the ball in the basket, and you nailed him to the bench. And then tomorrow, we're going to hear from Hornacek in the paper when he says, well, I thought about going big, but I didn't. This is the same guy who said he was going to start rotating four centers a week ago. Yet he hasn't done it. This is the same guy who constantly says they want Doug McDermott to shoot more balls, but you won't put Doug McDermott on the floor. A guy can't shoot if he's not on the floor. Enes Kanter can't get better if he's not on the floor. This is a coaching problem, and I'm done with Hornacek. Go give me David Fizdale. I don't care. I'm done with Hornacek.
You got anything else you'd like to add, Chandler, before we go to Marlo?
Nah, that's it.
All right, shout out to Chandler. And that's at NightChandler7 on Twitter. Shout out to Chandler. Let's get to Marlo, get his thoughts. And then we get to Rhonda and then Dre. Let's get to Marlo. Marlo, talk to us. Knickerbocker Avenue fan from. How you doing, man?
Steve, Knickerbocker Avenue Chandler. How you guys doing? And probably my brothers also, Dom and Asim, if y'all listening in. Shout out to all you guys. You know, it's funny. They made a joke years ago about the NBA, and it's almost like in sports in general. And since I've been a Knicks fan, it's kind of true. It's not even worth watching until the last 2 minutes of the game. It's really not, and I've gotten to that point now. I mean, I still watch the second half of this game. You know, I watch my X-Files. But when I kept checking the score, the Knicks were down by 20, over 20. So I'm saying to myself, oh, maybe Gasol is playing. I turned the channel, and guys, I could not name one person that was on the court until they said Chalmers and Tyreek Evans. I didn't know. That was AAU squad. And, guys, you know something? I'm going a little bit different than what you guys are doing. I mean, this coaching staff is being held accountable. You know, they're culpable for a lot of this mess. But my problem is I'm thinking why he leaves a Lance Thomas in there and sits a Enes Kanter. As good as Enes Kanter is, Enes Kanter is in, and the Knicks are down by over 20 to an AAU squad. This is a G League team that we played, and the Knicks are down almost over 20. So I think Hornacek, this is just my rationalization, is somebody's got to stop the bleeding. And it's not so much trying to outscore these guys. If Enes Kanter is in and he's playing all world, quote unquote, and you down by 20 to an AAU squad, then apparently that's not an impactful game that you're playing. Somebody has to make stops on this team. And this has been an indictment on the Knicks for years. I could go back to the last time they played pretty good defense is Mike Woodson's first year. But the Knicks have always done this. And guys, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but if we are, Tim Hardaway Jr. has to get his legs back, first of all. But I'm sorry to tell you this. If we're relying on Michael Beasley, to the journeyman, to come to our rescue every night, then you are sadly mistaken. There's a reason why winning teams weren't knocking on Michael Beasley's door to come here. Michael Beasley has played this, but sometimes it's the talent. It's the talent of the team is the problem. We have enough, but we don't have really that enough. We don't have that person who can do it for us. And even this thing with the referees at the end, the refs didn't take that from us. We were in no position to be in that game. Even with me not having too much faith in Michael Beasley, and you have Beasley and you have Kristaps Porzingis. They should have closed this game, guys. One of them should have closed out this game. And then we wouldn't have been a Courtney Lee a technical. And Courtney Lee elbowing people doing dumb stuff per usual, just complete meltdown. Or somebody should know how to close out games. The last person who did, he's in OKC right now. But somebody on that team should have said, give me this ball, and you guys get out my way. KP don't have it in him. Tim Hardaway doesn't have his legs. Maybe if Tim Hardaway got his legs under him, maybe he would have made it. But again, I'm at the point, did not deserve to win this game again because they're not playing basketball. To be down by this much, then why am I going to put Kanter back in? Okay, he scores on this end, but on the other end, it's a layup line. There's no one making stops on this team. And that has been an indictment on the Knicks. The difference between like the Celtics with Brad Stevens, he has players who are limited two-way, but they defend. We don't have defenders on here. We have no one who can say stop the bleeding. We need a stop here. Can you make a stop? We don't have that. And what's even sad, you know, for us as being Knicks fans, we've been subjected to this for years with the Knicks. There's not somebody who could make any stops. I know no one plays too much defense anymore. I know some of the teams now, everyone's shooting, everybody's scoring. It's a scoring league. But there has to be an effort to try to make some sort of stop. They've showed some of that effort in the third, which was nice. But why do you have to wait to the third quarter to do it? The Knicks have not built up the reputation or anything to say to themselves, oh, we could turn this on the second half and we're going to pull this game out. No, you guys aren't there yet. Who told you guys that you guys can do that? You guys need to play a complete game. And you know what's even more sad as a Knicks fan, and I'm going to pass this off. The Knicks the other day were trending for 3 hours for beating the Brooklyn Nets. This is what we come to? We're celebrating beating the Brooklyn Nets? And the argument could be made if either one of D'Angelo Russell or Jeremy Lin would have played, they probably would have beat us that game. It's just a sad story for me. And like I said, the Knicks didn't deserve it because they played a horrible first half. They lost to an AAU squad. Nobody I can name on there except Tyreek Evans and Mario Chalmers. And they shouldn't have been, even with them coming back, there's somebody on that team who has to say, give me the ball. Even with me having my issues with Beasley could have done it. And KP, I'm not sure what's going on with KP, but KP had the skill set to try to close that game out. And nobody did. So there's a lot of blame that goes around, but this, more than anything else, is the talent on this team, and no one can stop the bleeding on the other end. And that's really bad. And we're not good enough of an offensive team to outscore other teams. So there has to be some direction that's going on with this Knicks team, and there is none right now. And that has to be addressed.
That is Marla Drago NYC on Twitter. Ab, before we go to the next caller and bring on more stakeholders, you heard Chandler's points and Marla's points. You want to chime in on any of those points from our stakeholders?
I just want to re-echo what Marla just said about KP. He should be the guy that, I mean, he's supposedly the future. He's the chosen one. He's the guy that's supposed to be, you know, filling in the Melo role. And right now, it seems like, you know, he just wants to play exactly like Melo, where, you know, he's settling for long range jumpers that are well defended, that are out of his range, instead of using his 7'3" frame to back smaller defenders down and to use that size accordingly. I'm getting pretty much sick and tired of seeing a lot of situations where he's out in the perimeter and your tallest guy in the paint is Michael Beasley. That can't happen. I mean, he has to be – if he wants to make a long-range jumper, if he's wide open, that's fine. But when he's well-defended, break your freaking defender down, let the double team come to you, and then kick out to an open shooter. That's how you play smart basketball. And he hasn't been able to do that all season long for some reason. I mean, great. You got 7 blocks or something like that. So he's doing something on the defensive end. What's he doing on the offensive end? He's got really poor shot selection, and I just got a tweet from somebody saying that, you know, what about Frank? Well, Frank's doing exactly what I asked him to do. You know, have more confidence in his shot. Yeah, he didn't make any of them, but at least I'll give him an A for effort for trying. I mean, I would like him, to drive the lane a little bit more, but hey, it is what it is. This team right now is exactly how Marlo says. It's missing that key ingredient of, you know, that closeout guy. If it's going to be Michael Beasley, so be it. I don't particularly trust that. I don't particularly trust Tim Hardaway Jr. either to be that closeout guy. I would rather be comfortable if it was Kristaps Porzingis, but since he's not been able to do that, we're basically resort to our second, third, and fourth option, which is basically Michael Beasley, Tim Hardaway Jr., and on the occasion either Courtney Lee and or Jared Jack, and that's pretty sad considering the amount of talent that does exist in comparison to our opposition. We should have pretty much have won all these games. Because this is more or less the muffin part of the schedule, you know, of the road schedule with teams below 500, teams that we should be beating them, you know, handedly, and we should be, you know, right in the thick of things in the Eastern Conference. And instead, you know, we're on the outside looking in. We're looking at the fan base, you know, with half is still thinking about playoffs, and about 80, and the other half, actually more than half, are not talking about tanking. If you look at it, but I don't think they're tanking, and I don't see how this team is going to make the playoffs at this rate. They need to be able to, you know, to start winning some of these games, especially on the road, because the schedule is basically all road in the month of January.
All right, Ab, thank you very much. Let's get to Rhonda. Rhonda, talk to us. The Knicks lose. You saw it as I saw it. What's on your mind? How's everything?
Well, first of all, good evening to everybody, and big shout out to the Bleed Blue crew. Where do I begin? I don't want to sound like a broken record because the fellas that were just on, they hit the nail right on the head. The coaching staff, Hornacek, I think Howard Eisley is one of our assistant coaches. They all got to go. They need to leave. Have their tails left in Memphis. They're not allowed on the team bus, the team plane, team train. However, the Knicks got there. They're not allowed on to go on to Utah. Your tail stay in Memphis. Because in any sport, you throw out your lineup. If it doesn't work, you make adjustments. Maybe you sit down a guy. Maybe you give this guy more playing time. Maybe you give the next guy, all right, you play the one, you control, you be the floor general, you control the ball, you direct the guys which way to go. And nothing happened. I was like, okay, any minute now, he's going to bring Cantor back in. Cantor had a great first quarter. I'll take 10 points in one quarter. I'll take it. Cantor disappeared, vanished on the bench, never seen again. I'm like, okay, McDermott's been pretty good the past few games. When is he coming in? Didn't see him. Instead, I saw the same lineup over and over again. The same lineup that just stands there with the stagnation on the defense. It's like they're at Disney World and they're watching Mickey Mouse go by. Ooh, look at that. No movement, no hands up at all. I mean, guys are making layups. I got a four-year-old who plays better defense than this. Put your hands up. Put a body on the guy. You got six fouls. Use them. Go after the player. Don't let the guy come in a hole like that. And then when the Knicks go on offense, what do? Everybody wants to shoot a three-pointer. Everyone wants to shoot a long-range perimeter jump shot. Attack the basket. They didn't have any of their guys there. No Gasol. None of their main guys were there. No one to stop you. Go to the rim. Go to the basket. If you draw contact, so flip them away. Go to the free throw line. Cast a check. Make your shots. You know, the lack of movement on defense is what's killing me the most. I grew up in the 80s where that's what the Knicks were known for. You Jordan and Isaiah Thomas and all them back in the day, they had to perfect that jumper because you weren't coming in the lane. That's what I know. Maybe I sound like an old fart saying that, but I don't care. That's what I know. I think the Knicks need to go back to that. I think we have the players to go back to that. We have enough big bodies up there that you can play some defense, defend the hole. Don't let teams run in and out of there like it's a free-for-all. Draw some contact. Don't be scared to let somebody touch your precious little bodies. And play like men. Play like the professionals you're supposed to be. And I think that's what's really my biggest problem with the Knicks. Yeah, coaching sucks. Everybody knows this. Anyone with half a brain can see it. At the end of the day, it goes back to the player. You get paid a nice sum of money to play like a professional. This lackadaisical, I'm tired, I don't feel like it today, maybe next play, oh, let them have that. That kind of attitude, it seems to permeate throughout this Knicks locker room, and I can't stand it. It's infuriating. Where's your heart? Where's your pride? You're in an enviable position. Act like it. Another thing, too, the guard play. Now, Frank, he is who he is. He's a 19-year-old baby, doesn't know which way is up yet. Never really played. I don't know really too much about his background from Europe. Can't say he played too much organized ball because of the way he runs up and down the court. He dribbles the ball like a little kid in the PV league. He's all over the place. But it is what it is. And the more he plays, hopefully anyway, the better he'll get. But you see the kid up there needs help. Where the heck was Trey Burke? Now, I'm not saying he's the second coming of Rondo or anything, but where was Trey Burke? Where was somebody? This is a guy, he's been in the league. He's played organized ball for Michigan in college. He's played at the professional level with Utah, I believe. Where is he guiding this team, helping this team out, showing guys which way to go, directing the team? Frank doesn't know how to do that. He's a baby. He's not going to know. You know, it's just a frustrating loss, a loss that should not have been. You know, at the end of one, I think we're only down by 1 point. I think at the half, we're only down by maybe 4 or 5. We closed it down to 4 in the fourth quarter. We still had some time. I think we had like about 4 or 3.5 left. We got it down to 4. That was the time to turn it up. And it looked like they took their foot off the gas again. You know, the lack of professionalism. I don't know if the team is quitting on the coach or what, but I don't know what's going on. But heads need to roll. These so-called pampered starters, maybe some of them need to sit down. It's time for a big shakeup. Knickerbocker organization, if you hear us, shake it up. Somebody get down there and kick some tail in that locker room. This ain't cutting it. And the fan base is disgusted. And that's all I got to say.
That is Rhonda, ladies and gentlemen. And Av, we're going to go to Dre. Sounds like Rhonda is making the case. We need to get those presses going again, get those petitions out like we normally do here on this platform. We might have the petitions out. It just sounds like it's going that way. Shout out to Rhonda. We're going to go back around. Rhonda, when we get to you, Dre, and then somebody else after that. Dre, I think you're on next. Talk to us if this is Dre. What's going on?
What's up, everybody? And I just want to say I just love everybody's, like, thoughts and opinion. Like, it just teaches me everything new. And knowing me as a young one, well, sort of young fan, because I've been watching them for about 8, let's say 9 years. But, yeah, y'all got bad experience, but I'm going to get to the point. It's just to a point where I'm looking at it like, everybody got a piece of the blame. Like, going back to the coaching, just at this point in the season, like with Miller, you're supposed to already have an idea of what you should be able to, who you know who can do this and when to play him. Coach Hornacek still don't know what. And then back to the players. It's just, to me, I'm thinking, like, what do you be doing in practice now? Because when I remember, like, Lance Thomas from the year, I think they were, like, 17 wins. I remember, at least from what I remember, he was a decent shooter, at least. Now he can't even shoot a ball in the ocean. And and the one thing I have to definitely I was actually that I remember I needed to say, despite the Grizzlies being well out of shape without Gasol, even Chandler Parsons, the one thing that and what Brad Stevenson had from the Celtics from the way before the after they prom is they built a culture. They actually had a culture, like even with all these players gone. This was their known identity. The Knicks haven't had that for, well, basically in the 90s. What I would have done differently in the coaching, I honestly don't know because I don't know exactly player strength. But what I do know is if some crap ain't working, you need to go ahead and plug in the next guy because like the last stakeholder said, y'all getting paid a good, nice amount, even though you're not that experienced. You should be able to know to go ahead and do, because going back to Frank, he is a young person, but at the same time, you play professional ball overseas, so you think you wouldn't have an idea on what you need to be able to do in these type of situations from time to time. And what I would like from Hornacek to do, from my only opinion, is play people like Doug Ennis and Frank a little bit more early in the season. That way we have a better idea of what we get into in the half of the season. Because what I basically chopped it up to for the Knicks, don't say any, like, you can't cut up anything until the half of the season because that's when it's true colors show. And what we're seeing right now is just, well, just no other way but say it, but disgusting. That's all I got to say.
All right. Shout out to Dre. Let's get to another call, and then we go back to Av. I'm not exactly sure who this is. The caller ending in 2878. I don't know who this is. Who's this?
caller ending in 2878585.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, man. What's up, yo? This is Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, I remember. What's, yeah. What's your name again?
Anthony.
You said Nick?
Anthony.
Oh, Anthony. Okay, yeah, what's good, man? How you doing, man?
I'll be a lot better if we won this damn game tonight, man. Oh, God. Like, I mean, do the refs got it in for us or something, man? Because I saw a lot of bullshit calls tonight, especially in that fourth quarter. You know, I don't know if, like, Tony Brothers or Derek Stafford share the same brain cell or something, but I think they both got it in for us whenever they ref. Because there's always some questionable shit going on every time they ref, man. But as far as coach go, like, you could tell, like, even, like, when you saw the press conference, you could tell from the look on his face, like, he don't want to be here no more. You know? You hear me?
Yeah, I definitely hear you. Absolutely. I follow. He looks disengaged.
Yeah. It's like he don't even care no more, man. Like, we could have used the spark off the bench from Trey. And, like, you know, who else? Yeah, well, especially him. And then we didn't go to Canton in the fourth quarter. Like, it's like the caller said earlier, man. I don't think KP's ready for that, to be that, you know, that main guy. I think he is, but it's like certain times, it's like he gets nervous when he got the ball in the fourth quarter, unless we got, like, a big lead. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Because it'll be like sometimes he's open, and then, like, he'll pass it to somebody, you know. But as far as Frank putting up bricks again, I really don't know what to say about that, because tonight, like, he was off. Did he even score? Because, like, my stream was, like, acting up a lot. So I don't even
know. No, he didn't.
Scored. Oh, wow. Damn. It's ridiculous, man. So, honestly, like, these next games coming up, besides the one with the Warriors, I think we could win. But from what I saw tonight, it's like we got to play two games against the team and against the refs, especially after what I saw tonight. Don't make no sense. And, like, as far as, like, Lance Thomas goes, I like what he brings defensively. And, like, I've been a fan, like, ever since I was, like, 3 years old. So you could go down the list of, like, small forwards we had. He's by far got to be the worst. Because he can't score even if his life depended on it. Johnny Newman was even better than him. Jeez. Even Quinn Richardson on those Isaiah teams.
You got to mess with the spider now, Johnny Newman.
Yeah, man. I mean, damn, yo. Like, what's the matter with this guy? Like, do we get nervous when he got the ball? Man, looking like you can't even make a basket in the AA league or something, man. Jeez. My little sister can score more than him, and she don't even play basketball like that. I don't know.
Got any more, Anthony? You good? Or?
Yeah, man. I just hope we get it together. It looked like the playoffs are slipping away. No.
Hey, Avenue. Avenue, you heard from Rhonda. You heard from Dre. You heard from Anthony. Rhonda made a lot of great points on the summary of this team. Dre's points on what's going on in Knicks practice as far as what is the preparation for games, and Lance Thomas' questions that Dre had, and Anthony's just flabbergasted with overall and the refs. I mean, Av, anything you'd like to add, and I'll say – couple things, and we'll go back to Marlo at the top.
Well, I'm looking over. I listened to everybody, and while Anthony was talking, I was looking over the schedule. You know, we have 14 games before the All-Star break, and I'm counting down like all the teams that we should be able to beat over the next 14 games. I mean, realistically, 8-6 would be okay. I mean, that's still that still doesn't get us back over 500, but at least it gets us, you know, keeps us where we are more or less, or at least a step up. 9-5 would be the best case scenario, because if you look at the next 14 games, aside from a visit up to Golden State. A game against the Nuggets, because they're playing decent ball. They're playing above 500 ball. We got two games against the Bucks, a game against the Celtics, and a game against the Raptors again, and even the Pacers in Indianapolis. And at this point, I don't know whether you want to call the Sixers for real or not, because one week they look like world beaters, and next week they look like the chumps that they've always been for the last 15 years or so. But the Knicks need to kind of get it. The Knicks definitely need to get it together, considering that the next 14 games, at least 10 of them are going to be on the road. At least 8 or 9 of them are going to be against teams with winning records. At least 5 of them are against playoff teams, shoo-in the playoff teams. After that, they need to pull their head out of their ass. Hornacek needs to change up his rotation. He needs to adjust it somewhat, because this can't continue. This okay at home, terrible on the road execution, not getting up for games, not giving us 4 solid quarters of efficient basketball against teams they should be beating. Cannot continue if you're trying to go make that eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, because it's not a shoe anymore. There are plenty of teams out there that are in the same position that the Knicks are, where they haven't been in the playoffs in a long time, and they're hungry, and their fans are just as hungry as we are. We're just more vocal about it, and of course we're a lot more frustrated, considering that we had all those years with Melo. We had the year, that 54-win season. Then we had a 17-win season. And then, of course, we have Phil Jackson, on the top of the helm. So this team needs to establish their identity, because, going into the offseason, what are you going to present to future free agents, going forward? This is our identity, and this is how you fit in. Right now, the Knicks don't have an identity. All we have Porzingis and a bunch of other guys that dress but not necessarily play.
I want to shout out everybody's comments in the KGYR. Shout out to Tamika. I'm surprised. Usually she will call in and say her piece, but she's definitely wanted to leave a comment. There's no difference between Jeff. Jeffrey needs to do better, talking about Jeff Hornacek needs to do better. Lance Thomas and Baker minutes for the need of the team should be looked to be split between Burke and Noah, period. I'm saying the same exact thing as her, man. I you guys follow my tweets or posts, period. There's no, and Chandler hit it on the head tonight as far as minutes. Rhonda touched on it as well. There's no reason Baker should be getting all these minutes. It's ridiculous. So shout-outs to Tamika. Shout-outs to Joyce. I think Kanter is going to leave if this continued to happen to him not playing in the fourth quarter. And it was really mind-boggling, because no Mark Gasol, and to Rhonda's points again, he was getting all those points in the first half. And especially not only just the points part, but when you needed rebounds, and the Knicks are a good rebounding team because of him. He's the main reason why the Knicks are a pretty good rebounding team this year. And I'm surprised that Hornacek, time and time again down the stretch, finds a way to leave him on the bench. And they have no inside presence tonight. So shout-outs to Joyce. Tamika goes back and says, but we have to pick up Burke, and it has been a star. Minutes would have been made. Shout-outs. Alex says Memphis had the reps in their pockets tonight. Yeah, man. I mean, there was some bad calls in that quarter, and I know Anthony touched up on that as well. Shout-outs to Curtis. He says there's terrible adjustments by the coach, the lack thereof. It should not have come down to that. Got to stop the bleeding right there where it is. And actually got to start Beasley over Thomas. That was one of his points as well. One more point from Joyce saying that Hornacek and the players should worry about the process, not the playoffs. What the hell is the process? My quick points, I mean, I think everybody said what they had to say. I want to go back to the Timberwolves game on Friday and the Pelican game. I can live with the Wolves game. I thought they were the better team anyway. I know that was a game return for Hardaway Jr. And that game, it just didn't feel like they were going to win that game. It was just happy. It seemed like it was just a game to have Hardaway Jr. back. And they played okay early on, and just in typical Knicks second half fashion, for the most part, they'll fade away. But the Pelican game was really inexcusable. I think that's probably the worst game. I'll ask all of you guys on this one. I don't know what game is worse. I think the Pelican game is worse, though, to be honest with you. You're up big. They haven't had the lead until overtime. They never closed the game. They should have won by 30. They allowed them to come back. They didn't finish. They didn't play crisp defense down the stretch. Anthony Davis had his way. Now, I'm not saying Anthony Davis should be stopped because he was a very, very good NBA player. Matter of fact, I think the game before he played us on Sunday, he had like 40-something points, double-double machine. But the Knicks not finishing that game, and like Av said, I mean, or Marlo said as well, as the Brooklyn game, you had to beat Brooklyn. I mean, we shouldn't get too up in the roar for beating them. But as Knicks fans, we needed something to hold on the string to cheer for. Those are a lot of those comments, Marlo. We have a lot to say. And Marlo, if there's anything else, actually, we go back to Chandler. Chandler was at the top. That's my bad. Chandler, we'll go back to you at the top. Anything else you would like to add on this platform? You heard everybody's points. Anything you'd like to say to their points? If not, anything you would like to say, Chandler, and we'll go right back down the line to Marlo, Rhonda, so on and so forth.
Well, everybody made great points. And I mean, I'm not really ever going to get too much on the officials when the team is just awful with the effort. But that Pelicans game, yeah, that made no sense. That's not a game they should have even lost. And to allow them to come back like that, and it's just another frustrating loss that didn't have to be. You know, it didn't have to be. And I know everybody says, oh, maybe we should tank, whatever. You know, like Dom says, you don't learn to win by losing. You know, you don't learn to win by losing. And you know, we're talking about these free agents, man. I've said this many times. No free agents are coming here. No free agents are coming here because you say, well, okay, what type of culture are you building? Well, they want to know what type of players you have. If you don't play anybody, if you don't play the Dotsons, the Hernan Gomez's, the Burks, if you don't play them, the McDermott's, if you don't play those guys, why would anybody look at this team? Why would any free agent, and we're not going to get the premier free agents, we all understand that, but why would anybody that's of any substance look at this team? Because they're going to say the same thing we are. I still don't know what you have. I still don't know what type of talent you have. Until management decides to make Hornacek play these young players, we're going to have a lot of nights like this, a lot more nights like this.
Anything else, sir? Anything else you'd like to add, Chandler? Let me ask you this. I'll even put it like this. What about the we gave Hornacek a huge pass, obviously, because, like what Dom would say, the Zen does. We have Phil Jackson pulling the strings from the bleachers of Madison Square Garden. Now you got Hornacek getting pretty much the free reign. What do you think is going through the mind of like a general manager like Scott Perry? I mean, what do you think as far as him evaluation of this coach, or is it another past season? Because that's not his guy at the end of the day, you know. So do you think, or this is more of a Steve Mills thing? As long as Steve Mills agrees with it, like, how do you look at this?
I think that Perry is trying to give Hornacek every benefit of the doubt. He's trying to give him an opportunity to prove that he deserves to be here. I think Perry, all things being equal, if this team continues to play like this, if it was up to him, I think Hornacek would be going at the All-Star break. I really do. Because there is a coach out there to replace him, and that guy was David Fizdale. Okay? So there is a coach out there. But it would then be seen as the Knicks blowing it up once again. And you understand what I'm saying? That the optics of firing Hornacek are not good. The optics of it are not good. So I don't think they can fire Hornacek, even though he deserves to be. I don't think you can, simply because if you're going to say you're trying to lay a foundation and you're trying to build a culture, you can't fire Hornacek. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But I think Perry if you gave him truth serum, would say, I would like the Fire Hornet set right now, but he really can't because he has to give him the opportunity to coach a full season and then say, well, we tried, you got to go.
We get the Marlowe, and then we get the Rhonda. Thank you very much, Night Channel 7. Marlowe, anything else you'd like to add? Then we'll go back to Rhonda, and then, of course, Av.
But, you know, guys, I know probably some of you aren't into astrology, but I'm a Gemini. And Geminis, we try to use logic and rationale to figure out what's going on here. And what I've come to the conclusion is that this, I think, is more possible than anything else. I believe Knicks management sees this as a throwaway season. This is a transition because you still have remnants of Phil Jackson's picks and staff and whatever, and they traded Melo kind of late. So this doesn't have the hands of Perry on this with this team. You know, so my whole thinking is that the organization really is just letting stuff play out, and nothing is really a set in stone because they're transitioning. And including coaching staff, I feel the only ones that they're really focusing on is how KP's playing, Hardaway, Frank. I think those are only really untouchables. And like you were saying, Steve, which I was about to say, you kind of stole my point. I think they're doing it because they know they can't sign Enes Kanter at the end of the year. So they want Enes Kanter to leave. They don't want him here. They don't want that money on their books. So I think the Knicks are putting the cart in front of the horse as of now and just saying, you know something, this is just a throwaway season. We had that nice little run. This is not exactly what we want. Because the Knicks now want to be fiscally responsible. And they want to try. And they know that no free agents really of any significance is coming here. So they're going to have to do a lot of building on their own. So I think that's why they're not going to do anything as far as I'm concerned with Jeff Hornacek. And why is Kurt Rambis still on the bench is beyond me, Mr. Defensive Coach. I mean, the Knicks' defense has been horrible since he's been there, before he's been there. It's just really bad. But I really think everyone is on a timeline. And really, once you think about it, guys, the Knicks playing, like, they know that their time is going to be up soon. I can't say for sure that there's going to be any longevity. And when you know you don't have that, and, like, I got to echo what Dre says, which he's exactly right. The Knicks never had an identity since the 90s, guys. And we've also harped upon that, too. Are you a defensive team? Are you a Euro team? Are you an offensive team? Are you a ball movement team? What are you guys? Still, Knicks have nothing. And I'm thinking, too, Perry wants to start with his own crew. And he couldn't do it because he was so late in the game. Knicks going to Nick. You know, the Knicks should have gotten rid of Phil Jackson, traded Melo, and gotten rid of the coaching, some of Phil Jackson's coaching staff in the beginning of the off season, and not wait till the very end. So now what you are, and players who don't know what's going on, and a staff who doesn't know what's going on. Because, again, they're like this, you know, like I call them, they're a group of from the misfit toys. The pieces don't all fit. So, guys, the only thing I could think of that's going to give me any sleep at night is that I feel that the staff just feel that this is going to be a throwaway season, and really there's no ifs about anything, and that's how they're playing. They don't know what's going on. They have no direction. They have no knowing what's going to happen to them down the line, and more than likely most of them are going to be gone.
All right, thank you very much, Marlo. Let's get to Rhonda, get her additional thoughts. So, Rhonda, anything else you'd like to add? On top of what you said, any of the points that we said, anything we're missing, go ahead. The floor is yours. Fire away. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum.
Well, I definitely feel smarter just listening to you guys. You guys brought up so many amazing, amazing points. To try to play, let's play a little devil's advocate to expand on what the last caller said. I was trolling a little bit earlier today. I had a few minutes free at work. And I'm trolling through a sports group. I'm not going to say who. One of the participants was saying, it's time to blow it all up, trade away to everybody. Let's see what we can get out here and start anew. Trade KP, trade Cantor, trade Tim Hardaway, trade Burke. I mean, trade everybody that's decent. Blow it all up. Let's start anew. And, of course, everybody that participated in the forum let them have it, you know, said a lot of words that, you know, you kind of can't say in front of the kiddies there. And, you know, I'm sitting back laughing to myself, you know, eating popcorn, enjoying it. But after watching tonight's game and then reflecting on the Timberwolves loss, the Pelicans loss, the Chicago Bulls loss, even reflecting on the Brooklyn win. The Brooklyn win really wasn't all that great because, if I remember correctly, didn't Brooklyn inch back? Didn't they get within single digits at one point, if I remember right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Brooklyn win wasn't really much to celebrate. So going back to what last caller said, maybe it's a time to blow it up. Do we blow it up? Now, you know, I have no idea what's out there. Like the gentleman said, you know, at the GM level, you can't just compare talent with talent. You got to compare contracts with contracts. Who's willing to take on all these millions? Whose contract is comparable to our players' contracts that we can match them up in? Who will even want our squad? If I'm a GM, on the outside looking in, really only KP is really the only half decent piece I would even consider. Everybody else, please get out my face. Unless you want to do a package deal, you know, maybe trade for some first round picks or something, or whatever. But I digress. But I am wondering, would a blow up, maybe not as big as that that guy in that sports group said, maybe not the whole squad, but maybe two or three packages up really cute and send them off somewhere. Maybe throw away. Maybe he's right. Maybe this is a throwaway season, and the Knicks fans, as always, we're the last to know. Maybe this is all just one big joke, and the joke's on us. Maybe they're planning this already. Maybe they're already planning some nice little lovely deal for a couple of first-round picks to God knows who else. Anyway, I just want to say the Knicks got to do better. Whether they are throwing the season or not, I hate that word. I hate that T word. Oh, my goodness, I hate the word. Whether they're actually doing that or not, at the end of the day, you're getting paid a nice sum to play this game. You're professional. Be proud of what you're doing. Work together. Play some defense. Stop standing around. Play some defense. Put some hands up. And if you're not going to play for the team, play for your next contract then, because the product that's being put out there is pathetic. It's really making me hang my head low. I don't even want to tell people now that I watch basketball. You know, it's really a sad state of affairs right now in Knickland.
Thank you very much, Rhonda, for your thoughts. Let's get to Dre and then go back to Ab. Dre, anything else you would like to add, sir? And then we'll go back to the infamous Knickerbocker Ab.
Okay, back to Rhonda's point. It sort of makes me feel scared and then at the same time, sorry. Scared to the point of saying, like, when will it end? Because like with anything, you need a plan. If you don't, if you go in basically without a plan, you're doomed for failure. Like that's anything, whether that's in sports or just in life. And the other one that has me a little just scratching my head is, even if they blew it up and traded KP, or let's say we tanked the season and got a third pick, I would actually feel sorry for, number one, the young people, because if the organization don't have a plan and they basically don't know what to do with you, basically you're wasting your time, in other words. You're going to, because the only people that's going to come here for free agents are people that's basically looking for a payout. You can ask Noah. But I would like for the other Knicks fans that don't really understand this like y'all do to think that Scott Perry will have to get his be given his shot. But back to the it goes all, but at the end of the day, it's going to go back to the original office at the GM, starting from Dorland, going down to Mills, and so on and so forth. And it's just, it is actually just sad to just not, it's not even the fact that they, like, lose, it's just, like, the effort, because that's basically, like, someone borrowing your own money, and then you see the next day, pay, like, making, like, a whole payout for some, and then they don't even got the nerves to even say anything that you, anything that they still owe you money. Like, that's basically how I feel about the Knicks. Now, I don't know what else to say because it's just disappointing. Like,
all right, shout-outs to Dre. Av, let me ask you this, Av. What's the census on Knickerbocker Avenue on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook? What about your peers as far as what the team is going through right now as we speak over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, since maybe even getting Hardaway back? Hardaway Dream back on Friday, and then these performances. What about the points as far as Perry? Here's my question for you as well, if you'd like to answer it. And any other thoughts you have is, like, what about general manager relationship with other connections in the league? Like, maybe there's something our general manager currently could bank on as long as Steve Mills gives him the reign. But, all those points with the consensus of what's going on in the Knickerbocker Avenue world, also the peers, what's going on through what you think, and then anything else you would like to add, because you have a bright Knicks mind, and it's definitely need to echo to the fan base here on this platform called the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. What's your thoughts, Av?
Well, the consensus is obviously a lot of people that I've noticed. You know, they blamed tonight's game on the fact that the point guard play wasn't great and Trey Burke didn't get in any minutes. I mean, I've already spoken at length about Trey Burke last week, and I know that you and I and Rhonda, you know, kind of debated about this over the last week on Twitter. And it pretty much wouldn't have hurt if he wasn't tonight's game. You know, he did pretty well in Brooklyn. I mean, it wouldn't have hurt the Knicks' chances of winning or losing tonight either way. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know why Ron Baker gets minutes anyway. I guess it's that $8.9 million contract that they gave him the offseason. But the major consensus in terms of Scott Perry is that, you know, they want to give Scott Perry the chance. You know, they feel that, you know, that he's, you know, the move, the Carmelo Anthony trade was just the first step towards, you know, to reestablishing this franchise into the right direction. So a lot of people want to give Scott Perry, you know, as much free reign as possible. The thing is that I always have to harp on, and that I keep on having to remind them, is that Steve Mills still makes the final say. So there could be at least five different deals that Scott Perry has come up with, and Steve Mills said no to all of them. So how effective can Scott Perry really be if, you know, he still has to answer Steve Mills? If Steve Mills is still playing president and GM at the same time, it makes zero sense. But the consensus is that, you know, they want to give Perry the chance. However, a lot of people, a lot of the consensus right now, you know, our listeners of the show, our followers of mine and yours, and a lot of the stakeholders on this call, and they're all saying the same exact thing. Jeff Hornacek needs to make an adjustment, or he needs to go. You know, a couple of weeks ago,
myself, Marlo, Dom, and Chandler all talked about, you know, reducing the minutes and reducing the rotation, and it looked like that Hornacek was started on the right foot of doing that and reducing the amount of players he utilizes. But when you realize that Enes Kanter had 20 points and 10 rebounds and it doesn't see a minute of the fourth quarter, that's a huge undersight, you know, to say the least. The majority of the people are right now, they're giving all the faith to Scott Perry that he can make some moves, especially, you know, with a full draft and a full free agency. But in terms of the coaching staff and then, of course, certain players, I mean, a lot of people want Lance Thomas gone. I keep on seeing a lot of possible trades to go after Kemba Walker because he might be available. I see all these stupid trades, you know, that people come up on the trade machine or these nifty little graphics that, you know, some graphic artist designed. But here's the thing. I don't think they should be making that much of a drastic change. I still think that they should stay the course. If this is a throwaway season, let it be. Just be real with us. Of course, they're never going to tell us that because they have to answer the season ticket holders. That's the sad reality. But to answer your question, Steve, a lot of consensus have faith in Steve Mills, not Steve Mills, Scott Perry. They don't have a lot of faith in Jeff Hornacek. A lot of them have been wanting him to get fired the second that Phil Jackson was fired, and they've been calling for, you know, every name from Fizdale to you know, bringing back Mark Jackson, to bringing back Mike Woodson, hell, to, you know, to pay Jeff Van Gundy $100 million to come coach the team. Hornacek is not winning up a lot of fans right now, especially with this team performance on the road and this team ineptitude on defense and some of his rotations and play calling. And then if anyone else is, Steve, I'm pretty sure you've noticed it, but you haven't mentioned it yet. The time he calls timeouts, you know, when he decides to call timeouts during games has been really awkward and really unorthodox. And to me, I've been kind of hindering the team's progress, especially, you know, in key situations. But that's how it is. Next, it seems like,
can I follow up a question on that? Can you give me an example of the unorthodox time of the timeouts? Because I have something in mind when it comes to that, but I want to hear your perspective.
Well, there was at least two or three different occasions during the New Orleans game, back at home at Madison Square Garden, where he called timeout just before the third quarter ended, and I thought that was kind of odd. And then New Orleans they went on a quick 6-0 run to start the period, and then he called timeout again. And there was another period somewhere in the overtime period where I felt that he should have called a timeout, and he didn't, and let the team go on. And then they turned around. I think it was either Holiday or I don't remember who, or maybe even Anthony Davis that, you know, that took a three. And then once we gained possession, then he called the timeout. I was like, wait, we were about to go on a fast break. It's like, there's nobody in front of him. Why are you calling timeout then? It's just, there are key moments where Hornacek is calling timeouts, especially just in that game. But in the Brooklyn game, he did it. He definitely did it in the Chicago game, where he's just calling timeouts in opportune moments where he's actually stopping the momentum in negatively, you know, stopping our own momentum as opposed to stopping the opposition's momentum.
I know. Go ahead and finish your thoughts, and I'll respond. Go ahead and finish anything else you'd like to add, because I'm a whole.
No, that was it. Go ahead. No, I want to hear this. Go ahead, Doc.
No. This is my issue when it comes to timing of timeouts. I think my issue with him, and as a matter of fact, let's ask everybody, because I think that's a fair question. I think that's a whole part of this adjustment process. I'm going to answer the question, and then I want to go back to Marlo. I want to make sure everybody has a say when it comes to this particular topic. I have an issue with Hornacek when he milks it, in a sense of he waits too long, where you have momentum, they want to play it out. And the perfect example is the San Antonio Spurs game at home, where Popovich, and I said it before, I think one of the post games after the Spurs, not when we played the Spurs, but the very next episode we did, the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, where, as soon as, on the Spurs side of things, as soon as things go wrong for the Spurs, I mean, it could be a quick basket, it could be a lapse of this defensive rotation, whatever, Popovich is going to call a quick timeout. It could be 2 points right after halftime. If there's something the coach does not like, he didn't agree to, or they not supposed to happen, he's calling a timeout right on the spot. Hornacek will do that, and I don't have an issue with that, but there's also situations where I can't stand with Hornacek, especially when we have big leads, or even in a situation where, like, I think the Miami game was one of the situations, I can't remember the exact game, but where you're down 2 at half, and then the lead balloons to, like, 10, 12. Like, you have to stop it immediately, especially if you're not, especially when you have a squad where we've said it all along, you have a lot of people calling for Michael Beasley over Lance Thomas, especially me. I am not necessarily start games, but definitely start the half, start the third quarter. I'm going to go to Marlo. Oh, no, let's go to Chandler. Let's go to Marlo and then go back to Rhonda and Dre. Real quickly, if you can answer that question as far as do you have issues with the timing of the timeouts for Hornacek? I do when it comes to when you need to stop the bleeding. He waits it out. I hate that. He does that a lot. And the Pelican game was prime example for that. Brooklyn to an extent, but definitely, actually both games if you really want to look at it. Chandler, what's your thoughts on the timing of the timeouts for Hornacek? Do you have an issue with that? Same thing for Marlo, Rhonda, and Dre, and then go back to Adam.
Short answer is yes. I have an issue with the way he calls timeouts, when he calls timeouts, and the fact that he has no adjustments out of the timeouts.
All right. Marlo.
I usually just chalk it up to the coach's style, because you have coaches like Phil Jackson who, when he was coaching, he wanted teams to figure it out, helps the team to grow. And, you know, instead of being so quick on the whistle, as opposed to someone like Popovich who wants complete control and try to help them out. So it all really depends on the coach and the coach's style. And, you know, if you do it quick, he could be more controlling coach. If you don't do it too quickly, maybe you want your team to try to figure out how to get themselves out of their own home. So that could be a growing experience.
All right. Rhonda, what about you and Dre? Same thing.
The players don't have the IQ. They don't have the basketball acumen to figure it out on their own. We need a micromanager. This dude ain't it. Hornacek got to go. That's it.
All right. Dre, what about you?
Oh, sorry. I have to say yes, but at the same time, you gotta let them figure it out. But without them actually knowing what they're good and good not, it's hard for them to actually give them more free will. So yes, there's times where Hornacek got to come and say, yo, we're blowing this lead, man. You got to step on their throat.
All right, and then, Ab, if you would like to answer that question one more time for the record and how you feel about that, time and timeout. That's my
I absolutely believe that I'm with everybody else. His timing of timeouts is just unorthodox. It's almost like a momentum killer, and when he needs to call a timeout, he doesn't. And I think that he needs to be able to hold on to the reins a little bit tighter and get these guys, especially when he's yelling at them to push the ball up, and they're not. That's when you should call a timeout and start benching some guys. When you have a big lead and the opposition makes a small run, then it's okay to call a timeout. But I think sometimes he's so free flowing, he's so much of a lax coach in a sense that he does let the players have too much rein and it's not working. He or the other coaches, whether it's Randis, whether it's Lively, I don't even know who else is on the coaching staff anymore. It's been a while, but they need to grab these players by the reins and start to guide them and coach them correctly, because they're getting out coached every single instance.
All right, fair point. I'm going to skip my turn. We're going to go around for final thoughts. Let's get to everybody. NightChandler7 on Twitter. That will be Chandler. Your final thoughts, sir. Take the time, and then we go to Marlo.
and then go to Ronda, Dre, and of course Av to finish it off. Go ahead, Chandler, your final thoughts.
You know, for me, you know, I get that maybe people don't think we have as much talent as I think we do. But there are two sports where coaching really actually matters. That's football and that's basketball. The coaching of this team could be far better and this team would win more games. Now, maybe, as Marlo said, maybe they don't really care and they're only concerned with three players. That's entirely possible. I still believe that Steve Mills is entirely too involved, and I think he's holding Scott Perry back. But I'd like, well, again, I'm going to give Scott Perry the benefit of the doubt. I give Steve Mills no benefit of the doubt. Until we see what comes after the All-Star break, I think is when we're going to get a better idea of where this team is heading, because I think the first 5 to 6 games after the All-Star break are going to tell us a lot about this team. And hopefully through these 14 games we can keep going, because, like I said, I want the team to make the playoffs simply because you don't learn to win by losing. And other than that, man, thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate being with everybody tonight.
Chandler, one more thing. I know this is a whole different topic. We'll go to Marlo. But I know we got the football on Thursday. But just in case we do not hear from you, I just got to get your take on specifically that Vikings-Saints game that we discussed on last week. You have any quick thoughts? I know it has nothing to do with the Knicks. I just wanted to ask you because, you know, you're a sports guy. We got to get your opinion on that, on what happened last Sunday.
That was awesome. That was one of the best games I've ever seen. And you know what? I feel so bad for that kid, Marcus Williams. I do. I feel bad for the kid. But the fact of the matter is, it looked like he didn't want to get the pass interference, and he whiffed on the tackle. But that was one of the better games I think that we've seen. And in reality, Minnesota shouldn't be moving on. But like I said, you guys know how I feel about Case Keenum, so I'm glad they won. But hopefully that kid, Marcus Williams, won't let that mark in for the rest of his career. But that was, man, that was an awesome game.
I definitely respect your opinion, and I also understand why you said what you said, because it goes back to what we were saying about the NBA. And there may be a lot of truth to that, what you said, Chandler. He didn't want to get the pass interference. And I think there's a lot of situations where the referees, and maybe it's somewhat in the Knicks, and I'm not saying the Knicks were the one tonight, but when you're down 3 and you had a chance to cut the lead, the refs did a piss-poor job. And I know it's totally different sports, but these are the two sports where, especially the NBA and the NFL, where the refs really could sway a game, no matter how well or bad the team's been playing. But nonetheless, NightChandler7 on Twitter, thank you very much for your thoughts and your opinions, your sports IQ, and your knowledge, bro. And look forward to talking to Knicks and sports in general. We'll be on for the football mañana. And blessings with the conference championship games, man. And guys, give NightChandler7 a follow on Twitter, man. Thank you very much, Chandler. And then
thanks, bro.
Let's go to Marlo. Yes, sir. At Drago NYC. And also, look, one more time, let's not forget the importance of what we do on this platform. And if you on Spreaker, go to Spreaker.com. Matter of fact, I'll let you tell it, Chandler. Tell everybody about your podcast and how and what it is about. And we can't reiterate it enough, the importance of what you're doing.
I do a podcast called Gear Adrift. I mean, it's veteran-centered for vets, people who are related to vets, families of veterans, just vets issues, any information I can give out about things to help veterans. I lost the word.
Their benefits?
Thank you. Benefits.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank
I've
you.
I've been listening, my brother. I've been listening. I've learned a couple of things.
You know, benefits, anything that can help veterans, especially with the fact that we have 22 veterans that commit suicide every day. So all I'm really trying to do is get information out there about resources, benefits, anything that can help them and also help their family members in dealing with veterans that may be having some issues, or even if they don't, just some fun stuff to talk about and maybe give out some information. So it's on Spreaker.com. It's called Gear Adrift. And thanks a lot, man, for letting me put that out.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you very much. Marlo at Drago NYC, your final thoughts on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. I know you've been down this road many a times with us talking Knicks and the woes, but nonetheless, your word is always valid and verified here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Final thoughts from Marlo.
To end on a lighter note, what is going on with the former Knicks this week? Because they've all been involved in violence. You got Trevor Ariza trying to fight in the locker room. You got Aaron Afalo missing a haymaker. And Robin Lopez done dunked on this guy and practically broke his neck, broke his leg today. So I started a new hashtag called Nickton, Nickton the Fool, because all these former Knicks are involved in violence. What the heck is going on around here? They still got that New York in them. I'm like, damn, every incident the past 2 days were former Knicks. What's going on? But anyway, like I said, I wanted to like do things on a little bit lighter note. And again, guys, that's just my rationale for me to sleep at night is for me to say that I believe this is just management sees this as a throwaway season, and they don't want Enes Kanter back because they can't sign him back for that money. They don't want that money on the books. And Joe Kim, there's going to be a lot of changes, and I feel the only untouchables is KP Hardaway and Frank Ntilikina. And I think the team knows it, the staff knows it, and sometimes the coach is the fall guy for the higher-ups' decisions. You know, the Mills, and I'm with you, Chandler. I have zero faith in Mills. But anyway, guys, Bleed Blue, thank you guys so much. You guys should, like I said, take a percentage out for therapy bills from me, because we've been going through this for the past 3-4 years, I think, since I've been on. I'm not sure how long I've been on the show, but it's mostly been therapy. Rhonda, I hope I'm saying your name right. Dre, I've got to try to remember all you guys. And shout out to Knickerbocker Ave with his stacks and facts. Steve for this platform. Godfather, Dom, who's not here. Asim, all just love this show, man. It's all about the brother and sisterhood up on here for the Knicks. This forum is better actually than the Knicks team. I'll put that out there right now. So, guys, enjoy the evening. Thanks again, Steve and Godfather, if you're listening. Thanks again for giving us this platform.
Indeed, at Drago NYC, and thank you for always fighting hashtag Nick Trolls out there in the world of the Twitter universe, man, fighting off those trolls, trolling the Knicks. Marlo's the man for the job, man. Marlo, thank you very much, at Drago NYC. Let's go to Rhonda. Rhonda, your final thoughts on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum on tonight's game or just in general the state of the Knicks.
You guys are fantastic. You're keeping me sane, keeping me what's left in my mind anyway. You know, I've been a Knicks fan since I remember walking. That's many years of ups and downs, lots of ups and downs. But tomorrow's another day. Onward to Utah. Let's get this win. Knicks Nation, thank you.
Rhonda, thank you very much on your final thoughts. Welcome anytime to the platform on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Love to hear from you going forward. Absolutely. Dre, your final thoughts, sir.
Well, regardless of whether they want to tank or not, the goal that should always be given at the task at hand is effort. And play. Make sure you get at least the young players' experience, because at the end of the day, they're going to be the ones at the end of the light in the tunnel with KP and Frank. And you can find me on Instagram, Lil Dre to the Rack. Hopefully, I have some nice NBA content about the Knicks. Hopefully, when they start turning it around, or at least on Friday, after I get everything back together.
Little Dre to the right on Instagram as well. Dre, can't thank you enough over the years talking Knicks basketball with us. Matter of fact, if it gets really out of hand, I don't mind one of us. We pair up with you. We could run up in the locker room. And Knicks, just like how, like Av said, or like Marlo said, as far as what Trevor Ariza and who's the other Rocket that did it with him? That was crazy. Oh, it was Gerald Green. Yeah. About to run him and
they had Capella knock on the door while they went to sneak around the back. What kind of Call of Duty stuff is that? Chris Paul trying to do some Call of Duty moves, man.
He
should have been there with Dominic Knickerbocker with that stuff. With that weird stuff. Or through the back doorway.
Let's talk to the military guys. Av, Chandler, Dom, did you guys set that up, man?
I had nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this. Don't be blaming me for this shit.
That's some fake military stuff they try to do, man. Not real military stuff.
They're
going to have a decoy out. What the heck is going on around here?
Oh, man.
Damn.
Man. Thank you very much, Dre. And let's go to Avery. Tell everybody once again your platform, platforms, plural, like your final thoughts, take your time, man, and let everybody know what's on your mind, man, on your final thoughts as well, man.
I'm at Knickerbocker Ave on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I want to send out a special belated happy birthday shout-out to the people of Champa Sim. I know you're listening, my brother. I love you. Happy birthday. Hope you enjoyed it. I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. Real fans come here because the real fans, the knowledgeable fans come here to talk sense about the nonsense that is the New York Knicks organization, whether we're talking about the organization itself, the management, the coaching, or the players themselves. You're not going to find it anywhere else. I know there are plenty of personalities out there. I know there's plenty of little groups and plenty of other roll call situations and other websites out there that want to claim that they know what they're talking about, but you ain't going to find them. You're going to find them right here every Wednesday for the Knicks. Every Monday when Steve and Kenny D do the dugout for the Yankees, every Tuesday when they do Ranger Proud, you know, talk about the rink, and of course tomorrow night when they talk about NFL, man. I'm surprised you ain't asked me about the NFL because I was scratching my head.
Oh, please.
All weekend. I'm going to just say this. Philadelphia escaped with their teeth intact. They escaped that game because, you know, they almost handed Atlanta, a freebie back to the Super Bowl. You know, but hey, it is what it is. Jacksonville. Wow. Who here outside of Jacksonville actually picked them to beat the Steelers, on Sunday? The Vikings.
I did.
I did. I didn't.
We did.
It's
on record. It's in the archives, Ab.
Well, then you know what? Then so be it. But New England, no surprise. And the Saints Vikings game, that was an incredible game. The ending to that game was almost similar to what the Giants 49ers NFC Championship game from a few years ago, where old boy missed those two kicks. I mean, it is what it is, bro. My prediction, I think Philadelphia takes out Minnesota, and it'll be a Philadelphia-New England Super Bowl. Hey, it's happened before. It should be interesting. See if Nick Foles can be, you know, if the Eagles can do what the Giants did, what, back in 1990 or something. Super Bowl 25. You already know what you're talking about. In terms of the Knicks, it's been said 1,000 times. You don't get better by losing. Tanking is not an option, at least not to this fan base. And if you're talking about tanking, then you really don't know how this team is ever gonna get better. You're talking about all these one and done kids, you know, coming out of college, you're coming from overseas, and they're coming with all this great, you know, hype and press kits and agents and marketing people. You're not gonna find the next LeBron James or the next Michael Jordan or the next Patrick Ewing savior guy, you know, in the draft. You have to develop a lot of right things have to happen, and the Knicks just don't have that luck.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith in Scott Perry. Absolutely none in Steve Mills. I've said this, you know, since the second that Phil Jackson was fired, that if Phil was fired, Steve Mills needs to go as well. But I knew what was up. I mean, the guy's been here since 1999, and that's when the wheels fell off. Then, as always, Knickerbocker Ave is going to be here. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. A shout out to Gear Adrift. Chandler, I've been listening to that show, and you have no idea how much help that actually does give me being a veteran myself. And as always, bleed blue all day, every day. Sangre Azul, Knickerbocker Ave signing out.
Andre Asu from the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks. Shout outs to Marlo, Chandler, Rhonda, Anthony Dre, and of course, at my final thoughts, man, the Knicks. This is therapy, man. This is why we have the knowledgeable Knicks fans come onto this platform. So try to give Knicks fans or just sports fans in general something to listen to, whether they're at the work, gym, traveling, whatever. Give you something, some content from a real fan's perspective. You don't really want to get it authentic like this from real fans like that. When I say real fans, I'm not saying no other fans not real. I'm just saying to the point where they're putting it out there vocally and on audio, where you can hear it on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps on your smartphone devices. Or you could go to BleedBlueShow.com, our website. And this was really the forum for the fans for the reason. It's not just the same. This is truly the forum for the fans. You have stakeholder spotlights. Featuring fans, spotlighting what's going on in their daily lives, how they look at sports, how they look at life. You have also when it comes to our teams, and they give a very harsh, objective view. You're just not going to hear through your normal outlets. You're going to get the watered-down fluff. You're going to get pretty much the PG version of what they think or what they say when they're here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum or any of the platforms we do here on the Bleed Blue Show is going to be honest and very direct and real. And I can't thank the stakeholders for coming out and giving out their time so real fans could be heard, like here on the Bleed Blue Show. And that's just the way it's going to roll. And that's going to be like that for a while, man, a very long time.
Hey, Steve.
So all the stakeholders for the Knicks? Yes, sir. Who's that?
It's that. Who's the next spotlight? I want to know who's the next spotlight because the last two were dynamite.
Oh.
I want to know who the. Who's the next one?
I don't like to announce them. I don't like to announce them because I like to.
Oh, come
drop.
On.
Yeah. But I actually, I'm looking forward to other stakeholder spotlight. Marlo's stakeholder spotlight was tremendous. So is
that's why I'm asking,
Chandler and Ev. I got to get with
you. You and Marlo lit it up, so I want to know who's next because I'm really interested to know who's next.
You'll hear, man. Trust me, you'll hear it. We had one, but we had to push it back. It could be.
I got stuff to say.
Who knew?
Ab, is that your final answer?
I think either it's Rhonda or somebody else from the front line is because that's fire right there. It's automatic fire.
Oh wow.
That's your final answer.
That's my final answer. Lock it in.
Some Knicks trivia over in the winter. Get back to our Knicks trivia over in the summer.
I want to defend my title.
Sangre, you know what, man? I got so sidetracked this past summer on that. I had a whole batch of questions, and I know we only did it once this past summer. And you know what? We might have to bring it this winter, man. I have some of those questions still lined up. Maybe I have to throw that on here after the Knicks get dragged by by the Portland Trail.
And you know what? You got to mix it up. You got to do it riddle and lightning round style because I think sometimes, you know, some people get too crafty with them.
Yeah. Indeed. All right, we're going to get cut off on time, man. Follow the show. Share the tweets, man. Share the episodes, man.
Sangre Azul, okay.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.